Pleasant good afternoon to you. It is a minute before 12 o'clock. It's Public Radio KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, live on the web, kmxt.org, where you're tuned into now to listen to me, unless you're on a mobile device or on the web. Thanks for joining us for the Midday Report and the afternoon spotlight. It's a beautiful 51 degrees, 51 degrees already out at the airport. 38% humidity, hardly any wind to speak of, a little less than 5 miles an hour. Visibility's at 10 miles, and it looks like we're going to have an afternoon of sunshine and clear skies tonight. Sunny skies today, high near 50. Northeast winds about 5 miles an hour. Clear tonight, low will drop down to the mid-30s. Northwest winds 10 miles an hour. Increasing clouds, though, tomorrow with a high near 46. Northwest winds 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the morning. Mostly sunny again on Sunday, though, with a high near 40. Northwest winds 15 to 20 with some gusts to 30 miles an hour. Nice weekend to look forward to. North winds 10 knots, 3-foot seas this afternoon and tonight in Chiniac Bay. Tomorrow, variable less than 10, becoming northeast 10 in the afternoon. 3-foot seas. Sunday, northwest 20, seas of 4 feet. Marmot Bay this afternoon, northeast winds of 10 knots with 3-foot seas. Northeast 10, 3-foot seas tonight as well. West 10, 2-foot seas on Saturday. Sunday through Monday, northwest 20, seas of 3 feet. We are Friday, the 21st of April. Hope you're having a lovely day. Sunset tonight's going to be at 9:34. We have many, many more hours of daylight to enjoy today. I hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy it with us. News headlines from NPR coming right up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. In the coming hours, the U.S. Supreme Court weighs in on the legal battle over a widely used abortion pill less than a year after the court's conservative supermajority struck down Roe v. Wade. The High Court's given itself until midnight to decide whether or not to block access to mifepristone while the FDA's approval of the drug from over 20 years ago is litigated. The Sudanese army has announced it's observing a 3-day ceasefire this coming hours after the rival RSF said it was declaring a 3-day truce to allow for the celebration of the end of Ramadan. Both sides have been locked in vicious fighting for control of the country for roughly a week, with fighting in the country's capital. The BBC's Mohamed Hashim has the latest.
A lot of people who are trying to escape the city to the safety of the nearby regions are all trapped because there is heavy and intense fighting. Today, for example, there is a road connecting Khartoum to Wad Madani, which is 180 kilometers southeast of Khartoum. There is very heavy fighting between the army and units of the RSF there.
That's the BBC's Mohanad Hashim reporting. The White House says it's creating an Office of Environmental Justice intended to better protect communities disproportionately affected by pollution and climate change. President Biden has yet to formally announce his bid for re-election, but he is touting his administration's climate actions today while accusing Republicans of undermining them.
In two years, we're making real progress in the most ambitious environmental justice agenda in history. With this executive order, we'll go even further.
Vice President Kamala Harris has gone to Miami to announce more than $500 million in climate action investments. Republicans, meanwhile, are confronting Biden on spending, warning that federal spending cuts will need to accompany an increase in the debt limit. The last 8 years have been the warmest 8 years on record, according to a report from the World Meteorological Organization. This year is likely to continue that trend. Here's NPR's Lauren Sommer.
Last year was about 2 degrees Fahrenheit hotter on average than pre-industrial times. That's despite it being a La Niña year, when global temperatures are cooler on average due to that seasonal weather pattern. This year, weather experts are predicting a shift to El Niño, which usually means hotter temperatures. That will likely continue the record-setting warming trend. The WMO also found the pace of sea level rise has doubled compared to the 1990s, as hotter ocean water expands and glaciers and ice sheets melt. Lauren Sommer, NPR News.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 22 points to 33,808. The S&P had risen 3 points and the NASDAQ was up 12. From Washington, this is NPR News.
NPR News es presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
On Monday, the first cruise ship of 2023 docked in Juneau. On that same day, city officials signed an agreement with the cruise industry to start limiting visitor volume. Starting next year, there'll be a 5 cruise ship daily limit in Juneau. It's a rare example of successful negotiations between a port city and the cruise industry. But some community members say it does not go far enough. K2's Anna Canny has more.
The 4,000-passenger Norwegian Bliss is docked right downtown. It towers over all of Juneau's buildings. The first cruise ship visitors since October are streaming off the boat, looking to start their iconic Alaska adventure.
It was on our bucket list. Always wanted to come to Alaska.
It's always been on Michael's bucket list.
I'm hoping to see the Northern Lights. That's on my bucket list. And the glacier.
What's the glacier?
Whale watching.
I hope to see some whales today.
We're going to whale watching.
Whale watching?
Tour managers are ready with a flurry of maps and flyers. But not everyone is feeling so welcoming.
We don't like to annoy, if you will, the passengers, but they need to know. Cruising has consequences.
Sue Schrader is with a small group of protesters holding a massive banner. They hope passengers can see it from the boat's deck. It says, Communities Against Cruise Pollution. Juneau's port only has room for 5 ships at a time. Some days, 2 ships will dock at different times, so there can be a total of 6 in a day. Across the industry, cruise ships are getting bigger and carrying more passengers. A day with 6 full ships could double the population of Juneau. A new agreement between cruise lines and the city will scale things back a bit by introducing a 5-ship daily limit. 5 ships is still a really busy day, but it's possible that stopping at 5 is the most Juneau can do. The new limit is actually not even enforceable. But city tourism manager Alexander Pierce says it could give the city more breathing room, and it could also pave the path for future negotiations with the industry.
So we're able to articulate what we actually want to be as a tourism destination over the next 10, 20, 50 years, and then starting to focus on how we maximize the economic benefits to the region, given that cruise tourism isn't going away anytime soon, but we can work to make things feel a little bit more balanced.
Working closely with the cruise industry seems to be the best way to find that balance. If the city pushes too hard, the industry pushes back harder. That's the lesson Juneau learned in 2016, when it got sued by the industry for how it was using the per-person tax it collects from all cruise ship passengers. And of course, the community has long been divided in their opinions about cruise tourism.
Welcome to Juneau, everybody. Have a great time. Glad you're here.
Back on the docks, longtime Juneau resident Tom Sullivan says it's an honor to welcome so many visitors.
It's a very important economic driver in our community, but more importantly, I think it's really special that 1.5 million people want to come to the little town of 30,000 that I live in because of its beauty.
In the season ahead, Monday's visit will seem quiet by comparison. There are a lot of 6 ship days coming up. And when all is said and done, more than 1.5 million visitors will have come and gone. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Anchorage police officials say they're moving forward with getting body cameras on officers, even though they're locked in a dispute with the police officers' union. It's a major development in the 2-year wait for the Anchorage Police Department to outfit its officers with body cameras. Voters approved a tax levy to purchase the cameras in April of 2021. But the police department and the union have remained at odds over the camera policy, and on Wednesday, the nonprofit Alaska Black Caucus sued the city over the delay. At a news conference on Thursday, Anchorage Police Chief Michael Curl did not give a timeline for when cameras will be on officers. He said after talking to the city's legal department, the decision was made to move forward with the cameras as the policy is sorted out.
We always thought that the policy and the implementation had to be concurrent. I was informed by the municipal legal team that they are actually 2 separate things, that I can implement body-worn cameras while the arbitration is going on.
APD officials said on Thursday they would release the latest version of the body camera policy, which the department will use after they buy the cameras. There is new language surrounding the release of camera footage. Footage would be subject to public records requests and can only be released after investigations have concluded, which could take months or years. However, Deputy Police Chief Sean Case says a new section of the policy allows for the police chief to release footage of incidents like police shootings before an investigation wraps.
That third paragraph gives the chief the ability to kind of circumvent that system in incidents that are of public interest, the media wants to know about and the public wants to know about.
The policy also prohibits officers from reviewing or copying camera footage under specific circumstances, including when there's the use of deadly force, when there's an in-custody death, or when an APD employee is the subject of a criminal investigation. The policy could change based on what comes out of the arbitration. Alaska Black Caucus President Celeste Hodge Groudon says she's pleased that the police department is moving forward with getting the body cameras, but she's still wary.
I'm happy to see that there's some movement. I just want to see now the timeline for getting these body cams.
Curl says the timing of the announcement had nothing to do with the lawsuit.
New climate research says there'll be substantially wetter rain and snow days in the future and flash droughts. While states continue to negotiate, the feds release possible plans for Colorado River cuts and how penguins dump on climate change.
How penguins dump on climate change. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
The federal government has proposed steps to address low water levels on the Colorado River. Last summer, the Bureau of Reclamation said usage would need to be cut by as much as 30%.
Last week, the agency came up with two alternative plans to cut allocations. One would result in prioritizing the older legal rights of farmers in California, and the other would sacrifice those rights to the needs of cities, particularly in Arizona.
Favoring urban needs in Arizona would hurt farmers in Southern California, who produce much of the nation's fruits and vegetables. On the other hand, honoring those historic rights in California could result in Arizona having to curtail much of its Colorado River allocation that delivers water to Phoenix, Tucson, and farmers.
Negotiations among the states are said to be making progress, and there's growing confidence a deal could be reached that respects older legal rights and doesn't cut off cities or those with junior allocations.
The Fed's plans, which don't currently affect the upper basin states of Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, are now subject to public comment. A decision could come this summer.
Last week, Fort Lauderdale suffered a rainstorm that dropped 25 inches of water in 7 hours. Government data show heavy rainfalls have increased by nearly 30% in the southeast over the past 50 years.
Climate activist Bill McKibben noted that while the Fort Lauderdale event was a freak of nature, it was also utterly predictable. As the planet warms, the atmosphere can hold more water, and he warns that we are entering a phase of steep rises in global temperatures as El Niño conditions return.
New research from the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab shows that by the end of the century, the biggest rain and snow days will be 20 to 30% wetter than they are today. Much of that increased precipitation will occur in winter.
But a warmer atmosphere also causes more evaporation. A study led by Nanjing University in China shows that climate change is making summer droughts faster and more furious.
So-called flash droughts, which come on suddenly, can kill large areas of crops, not only from lack of rain and snow, but also because the atmosphere gets so hot and dry, it sucks water right out of plants and soil.
The researchers found that flash droughts are occurring more often in nearly three-quarters of the world.
Swimming pools and lush landscapes, the lavish lifestyles of the wealthy require a lot of water, and according to a new study, they do so at the expense of the poor.
New research led by Uppsala University found high water use by the elite to irrigate gardens, wash cars, or fill pools are driving urban water crises around the globe, at least as much as climate change or population growth.
The study focused on Cape Town, South Africa, where many people live without taps and toilets and use their limited water for drinking and hygiene.
The researchers found that affluent households, which make up less than 14% of Cape Town's population, used more than half of the water consumed in the city, while lower-income groups, which account for nearly two-thirds of the city's residents, consumed just over one-quarter.
The authors say that low-income households are significantly more vulnerable to drought and water crises than the elite, who can afford price increases and find alternative water sources, such as digging wells.
The study said that more than 80 cities worldwide face similar water scarcity and equity issues, including London, Miami, and Mexico City.
They add that while solutions to urban water use have focused on raising prices and finding more supplies, more consideration should be given to reducing unsustainable consumption among elites. And finally, phytoplankton. The tiny ocean organisms are climate superstars for the amount of carbon dioxide they sequester from the atmosphere through photosynthesis.
To grow, all phytoplankton need is sunlight, CO2, and a few nutrients in the water, including nitrogen, phosphorus, and iron. Most iron in the ocean drifts from dust on land, but not much ends up in the Southern Ocean, so any of the element there needs to be recycled.
That task has largely been handled by a relationship between krill, tiny shrimp-like crustaceans, and baleen whales. Krill eat plankton and then are eaten by whales. When the whales poop, the iron in their feces is taken up by plankton, and the cycle continues.
But these two aren't the only players in this game. New research shows that shorebirds play a key role in iron recycling, and in particular, penguins punch above their weight.
Scientists in Spain used drone images to estimate the size of chinstrap penguin colonies in Antarctica, and then calculated how much iron their poop, also known as guano, contained.
The penguins also feast on krill and have been found to poop over 500 tons of iron back into the icy water each year. That might sound like a lot, but it's only half the amount from four decades ago, as the birds' numbers have plummeted due to climate change.
Less penguin guano affects phytoplankton growth, which in turn will sequester less carbon and be less able to keep the climate in check. That means chinstrap penguins will take it on the chin despite doing their utmost to keep ecosystems healthy.
That's it for this week in water. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Always something unusual on public radio, isn't there? April 21st, what happened on this day?
A day to remember. April 21st, 1918. Manfred was a German nobleman who wasn't content to stay on his estates and live a life of leisure. He joined a cavalry unit of the German army and, when World War I broke out, served as a cavalry reconnaissance officer. But with the advent of trench warfare, the traditional roles of the cavalry were viewed as increasingly outdated. Manfred's regiment was dismounted and ordered to serve as dispatch runners and telephone operators. This bored the young nobleman, and the final insult was when the regiment was ordered to serve the army's supply branch. He applied for a transfer to the Imperial German Army Air Service. Airborne combat was new, it was exciting, and Manfred knew he had to be a part of it. By early 1916, he'd completed pilot training and was attached to the No. 2 Bomber Squadron. Within a few more months, a brand new type of flying unit was formed, fighter planes, and Manfred was recruited into it. In another few months, he was in command of his own squadron. He was a national hero in Germany and feared by Allied pilots. Over the next year, he was credited with shooting down 80 Allied aircraft. On April 21st, 1918, Manfred got into a fight with two Canadian planes. Manfred's plane was hit multiple times, and he was personally struck by a single bullet that damaged his heart and lungs. But in the last seconds of his life, he was able to gain enough control of the aircraft to make a rough landing. But he was dead before enemy ground forces reached him. They were astonished by what they found because they all knew who Manfred was. Inside the bright red airplane was Manfred von Richthofen, who had become perhaps the greatest celebrity on either side of World War I, and had been known the world over as the Red Baron. A Day to Remember is a production of KUCO at the University of Central Oklahoma. For a transcript of today's story and additional content, including photos, check out our Facebook page at A Day to Remember Radio. For A Day to Remember, I'm Kent Anderson.
That's for whoever played that Snoopy versus the Red Baron thing during the pledge drive.
Stocks open mixed. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute. Investors are worried about mixed earnings reports. They're also digesting comments from Federal Reserve officials that at least one more interest rate hike will be necessary before a pause. Shares of Procter & Gamble rose after the company announced results for its fiscal third quarter. The maker of brands like Tide, Febreze, and Charmin beat analysts' expectations with net income of more than $3 billion. Part of that came from a 10% hike in prices. Sales volume fell, though, as consumers opted for cheaper alternatives. Tesla is raising prices on its most expensive models. The Model X now costs more than $97,000. Tesla lowered prices to spur demand, but investors were concerned it was cutting into profits. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute.
Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the April 21st edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. Spring, is that you? Or are you just teasing us again? It's late enough in the year that I dare to hope spring is here to stay this time. We all know the temps might dip here and there, and rainy, windy days are likely to appear. In fact, I hope the rain arrives soon. We need it. The fish and plants need it, too. But I'm not complaining about this stretch of warm, sunny days. It's lovely. Speaking of fish, if you're of the fishing mind, this is a good time of year to get out and fish for dollies and rainbow trout while you wait for the salmon season to arrive. Make sure you check the sport fish regulations before fishing to know if you're fishing a stocked lake for rainbows or not. The limits vary greatly. If in doubt, it's safest to assume all rainbow and steelhead on the road system are catch and release. And if it is the beautiful Dolly Varden you are after, you'll find them heading out of the lake soon to go to sea. The limit for Dolly Varden is 10 per day, 10 in possession, but you can always do catch and release if you want to give them a chance to head out to sea for the summer before they return to spawn in the fall. Wherever you decide to fish, get a copy of the regulations when you pick up your license, or if you buy your license online, be sure to read the regs there. They change from year to year, and there are sometimes emergency orders that you don't necessarily hear about on the stream. The sporting goods stores and the Fish and Game website are great sources of info about limits, emergency orders, and where the fishing is likely to be good. In the meantime, enjoy these clear skies and relatively warm days by getting outside. That fresh air and sun will do you a world of good. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Thank you, Marissa. Set of keys fell off the roof of a car, probably somewhere near Spruce Cape Road. If you find a set of keys, please call Alyssa, 907-654-4606. Also, we still have this announcement for paper bags. The senior citizens of Kodiak need paper bags, not soiled or torn. You can drop them off at the center until 5 o'clock today, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. They would appreciate more bags. It's 53 out at the airport, fair skies, beautiful sunshine here on Signal Hill, 38% humidity with a variable wind of 5 miles an hour blowing and 10 miles of visibility. So it should have sunshine this afternoon with a high near 50. Where we're at 51. Northeast winds 5 miles an hour. Tonight clear with a low around 35. Northwest winds 10 miles an hour. Increasing clouds tomorrow with a high near 46. Northwest winds 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the morning. And clear Saturday night, mostly sunny on Sunday with a high near 40. Northwest winds 15 to 20, gusting to 30. So maybe you're right, Pam. Maybe spring is here. It's April 21st, after all. It's not going to snow anymore, don't you think? 6:43 is when the sun came up. Doesn't go down till 9:34. We're up over just about to 15 hours of daylight, 14 hours and 51 minutes. Still gaining 4 minutes and 51 seconds per day. The record high was 56 in 2012. The record low is 22 in 1972. Sunrise tomorrow morning will be 6:40 in the morning. It sure was nice this morning, too. The synopsis for the North Gulf Coast and Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet issued at 3:30 this morning. High pressure persists over the Gulf through tomorrow afternoon. Then a 1,002 millibar low develops at 70 nautical miles south of Montague Island by Sunday morning. Chiniac Bay today, north winds at 10 knots, 3-foot seas, same forecast for tonight. Variable less than 10, becoming northeast 10 in the afternoon, 3-foot seas tomorrow. Sunday, northwest 20 and 4-foot seas. Marmot Bay today, wind should shift over to the northeast this afternoon, 10 knots with 3-foot seas, northeast 10, 3-foot seas tonight. West 10, 2-foot seas tomorrow. Sunday through Monday, northwest 20, seas of 3 feet. In the Shelikof Strait, there's a small craft advisory out for today and tomorrow. Northeast winds 25 knots, 6-foot seas this afternoon. Northeast 20 becoming variable less than 10 after midnight. 5-foot seas drop to 3 feet after midnight. West 15 in the morning, increasing to 25 with seas of 4 feet on Saturday. Pleasant for a boat ride if you're going. Our next tide in the Kodiak District, we had a great low tide this morning, a whopper of minus 1.6 feet, and it's going to be a minus 1.4 feet at 10 o'clock tomorrow, so it's a great morning to plan for an early beach trip. 4 o'clock is a high tide this afternoon of 7.7 feet. 9:28 tonight is another low tide of 1.2 feet. On the west side, the Larsen Bay tide is at 4:23 this afternoon, 16.3 feet. 10:12 is the low tide tonight, 1.6 feet. Your next early morning low tide on the west side over there, Larsen Bay, is at 10, just before 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's a nice minus 2.5 footer. Let's see, I got some time for some announcements. And there are, sure are a lot of announcements. Go on the website, kmxt.org, and check out the community calendar for things happening. Special Finds, a new nonprofit thrift store that provides jobs, training, and employment to people with special needs, is having a pop-up event today and tomorrow from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock both days at the Berean Baptist Church, 1216 Ishmaeloff. They have a whole lot of things available. For more information, contact them at 907-942-1992. It's open until 5 today, 9 to 5 tomorrow. The event at the Senior Center is this afternoon. Memory screenings from 2 to 4, community talk at 4:30. Book a memory screening from 2 to 4, or join them for a discussion of dementia with educator Debbie Chulowick at 4:30 this afternoon. For more information, go to hpck.org or call 512-0600. Over the next 2 weekends, the middle school and the high school Shakespeare's will be presenting Puffs, a Harry Potter parody by Matt Cox. Story of Wayne Hopkins, a regular boy who finds out he's a wizard and goes to school in England, where he makes two friends and has adventures. The hilariously heartfelt and epic journey of the Puffs takes the classic Harry Potter story to new places and reimagines what kid wizards can really be. Come to the middle school commons and watch a cast of 20 of some of Kodiak's best young actors transport you to Hogwarts and laugh your socks off. It's today at 7 o'clock, tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow afternoon at 2 and at 7. Middle school presentation. High school presentation next weekend, Friday, Saturday, same time. 7 o'clock on Friday, 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Saturday. Tickets are available at the door, or you can go to kodiakshakespeares.luddis.com. Kodiak History Museum is the center of the community. People come together to celebrate their culture through eras and share Kodiak stories. To celebrate the vision, the History Museum is inviting all descendants of Illooduk Chupiak ancestry to share family photos in a current temporary exhibit called Visions of Native Identity. Photos will be scanned, added to the exhibit in digital form, and while you tour the museum for free, take your photo when you're done. Kicks off tomorrow, and it runs through May the 20th. Your history matters. Call 486-5920 if you need more information. It's cleanup day tomorrow. Earth Cleanup Day at the you meet at Bayside. It's from noon to 4 o'clock. Join them for as little or as long as you can on this focused Earth Day cleanup sponsored by Madsen, Credit Union One, Island Trails Network, and Kodiak Kindness. Help them haul as much trash as possible from the ditches, beaches, and watersheds from Bayside to White Sands. Bring work gloves and a bucket if you have one. Call Heather 512-6762 if you need more information. Again, that open house out at the Passaic Shack new public use cabin is tomorrow from 12 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Everyone's welcome to come out and check it out. It's pretty nice.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.